Welcome to Single Welcome, in everybody. Connecticut Podcast, episode five. AI and its effect on dating. Allie, I can't believe we're here already, episode Unreal. Five. Can you believe it?
Flew by. It felt like it was just last week we started this, but no.
Yep.
It's been several weeks.
Well, last week we decided to take a week off. So, we will be doing it again next week, and hopefully the week after that. We're planning on being very consistent. We've got plenty of awesome topics for you. This week's topic is all about AI and its effect on dating. So AI seems to have an effect on everything these days. It has an effect on people's jobs. It has an effect on art. It has an effect on videos. It has an effect on all sorts of things, especially dating. AI practically runs dating apps. That was the last topic on our last podcast episode. So we wanted to have a whole episode all about AI. AI stands for artificial intelligence. So
that's the Tom Hanks movie, right? Yes, that's Tom Hanks, Haley Joel Osment.
So one thing that sort of inspired me for this is I'm a huge South Park fan, and it a few years ago, or maybe it was last year. I think it was last year. South Park had an episode all about ChatGPT and its effect on dating, sort of. And it's got a character named Clyde who's using an AI to help him out with dating, which a lot of people do these days. So I wanted to play it. I thought it was funny. So this is a 3-minute clip. This is from the Comedy Central Africa YouTube page. So shout out to Comedy Central Africa.
Region specific.
You guys, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
What is it? What happened, baby?
Clyde just sent me another text.
Oh. Oh, what's this one say?
I texted him if he thought about me all the time, and he texted back. It certainly seems like all the time. It's hard to get someone like you out of my mind.
Aww.
Doesn't he just send the best texts ever?
Yes, he does. He sure does.
Yesterday I texted him, "How do you know you're in love with me?" And he said, "I know I'm in love with you because spending time with you makes me feel like I'm home and I can't imagine life without you."
Oh, sweet. Clyde wrote that?
OMG, Clyde, do you really care about me that much?
Yeah, fourth grader wrote that.
Like that,
can you believe it?
No. Every time I send Stan a text, he just responds with a thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, well, Clyde is just really into me. Oh, he's texting back. Yes, I do care about you that much. You mean a lot to me, and I care deeply about you.
With perfect grammar, too.
He sure is in love with me, baby. He's a goddamn dreamboat.
Too good to be true.
Yeah, now she's feeling gypped with her relationship. This happens a lot, you know. People get jealous over other people who are in the honeymoon stage.
Oh, of course, yeah. Of the and then they don't realize that that's just the beginning. Yeah, it ends.
Yeah, it's like they've been together for years or a while or established or whatever.
Yeah,
she's all upset about that.
Hey, Clyde, can I talk to you?
Sure, bro.
Well, Wendy just came up to me and was acting all hurt because she thinks I don't care about her.
Uh-huh.
When she said that she wishes I would reply to her text the way that Clyde responds to Bebe, so, like, how do you do it? ChatGPT, dude. ChatGPT? Yeah, dude. There's a bunch of apps and programs you can subscribe to that use OpenAI to do all your writing for you. People use them to write poems, write job applications, but what they're really good for is dealing with chicks. Here, check it out. There's tons of ChatGPT apps for your phone. So then I can take whatever latest dumb thing Bebe texted me, I copy it, then I open the GPT app, click respond to, paste her text here, hit write, it just thinks for a second. You would look great with any length of hair, trying a new look could be fun. Copy that into messages and send it off.
Because you need a computer.
It's super
to
easy
that,
and convenient, basically. And it saves me a ton of time because she texts me so goddamn much. Jesus Christ! I probably won't do it, but thanks for being supportive. Cut, paste, write. Cut, messages, paste, send. There.
Oh, how thoughtful.
All done with her, stupid. This is a real app. It'll completely change your life, bro. Just don't tell anybody, huh? If Bebe found out, I'd be a dead man.
Yeah, it does seem a tad bit disingenuous, don't you think so, Allie?
I'm going to be honest with you, until we started like doing research for this episode, I didn't know men did this.
Oh, they did.
I didn't actually know anything
they
about this. All that I know
this.
About.
And is, and this is yeah. a this is a good question to bring up, Allie. Would you rather them rely on this, or would you rather them just say the first thing that pops
oh,
into
I
guess, their
I
head?
See what you mean. Well, first of all, they should probably see
what,
a therapist.
What's worse?
probably GPT, because they're thinking about what they should say before they say it. So that's not,
they're
I mean, that's the less
thoughtful.
Worse one. Yeah. Yeah. So, but they should probably see a therapist before they do either.
Yeah. So
to see how
I've
they
heard,
can juggle, you know.
So I've heard that know. Some people, and I've got a couple articles that I pulled up. So some people don't do exactly what Craig here did, which just was copy and paste. So. Which isn't as thoughtful as looking at a response and being like, maybe I should do that or maybe I shouldn't do that. So AI can give us ideas that we wouldn't have thought of on our own. But then that brings up the question, is that disingenuous? Especially,
and then what happens on the second date? Or
exactly.
The first date?
Or on the first date. Yeah. Like, so the person you talked to online could be someone completely different than the person you meet up with for that first date. But that's the thing.
Yeah, more,
that's why
yeah.
it's so important to meet up right away, is you can get a better feel for how they really are.
Yeah, to distinguish between the bot and the person. That'd be very important, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one thing that people have to consider when they're taught. Now, especially if there's just absolutely perfect grammar and weird,
yes.
vague... soulless responses that a computer can pop
or all
up. But
capital
some of them,
sometimes.
But some of them are pretty good, as you saw. Now, I believe after that episode aired, a lot of people searched this stuff, and I think they downloaded apps. It inspired a lot of things, and it inspired some of these articles, which we're about to bring up. But first, I wanted to bring up 10 May festivals in Connecticut. So I remember last episode, we didn't really talk too much about places to go in Connecticut. Let's bring that up right now. So 10 May festivals in Connecticut. These are festivals going on during May. Next month. Coming up.
May the 4th be with you.
Right? we actually have a few events happening on May the 4th. So,
oh, yeah.
This is a great time. All of these are outdoor festivals. So celebrate New Britain 2024.
Did you see the beer hive? They have a beer hive.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks really cool. I like the graphics they've got for this with the bridge they have over there, the B bridge. I'm not sure.
Oh,
if that's
yeah.
the right
I don't
name
know if they
the
can
bridge.
See this, but there's live music, vendors. There's a car show. There's a prevention Palooza. I don't know what that is. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So let's full screen this for just a second. There's all sorts of vendors, live music, all like you were saying, Prevention Palooza, Kids Zone. Kids Zone, I think that's probably some place where you could maybe dump
your
off your kids.
Off
I don't know. we'll see.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that terrible? but yeah, check that out. That's coming up. May 18th, Saturday, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Great place to bring a date or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or wife.
Or a child, if you're single and have kids.
Or a child, yeah.
Or not single and have kids. Yeah.
So also another great place to check out is the Heirloom Spring Festival, which is in Weathersfield at Heirloom Market.
It's a center on gardening, right?
Yeah. Heirloom Market at Comstock Ferry. So it not only has excellent stuff for gardening, Allie, but it's a cafe It's a market.
It's, they have alpacas.
It's they might. I believe they do on certain days. Yeah, like they have a
penguin zoo. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a really you should go down there and check it out, especially on a nice day. I'm hoping that the weather is going to cooperate because I think I myself am going to make my way down there to the Heirloom Spring Festival. All right. The Meriden Daffodil Festival. Let's full screen this. So
free admission.
May 4th and May 5th in Meriden. I believe that's their 45th annual Meriden Daffodil Festival. So they've been doing it for a while. It's your traditional festival with outdoor food, some
carnival.
Yeah.
Carnival some rides, full live music,
some
schedule.
Fun. Can't go off-site wrong
with parking.
That.
They got a shuttle service too, by the way, in case you
that's
don't
convenient.
Know.
Yes. All right. Let's see what we got next. We've got the Dogwood Festival in Fairfield. I think this takes place at a church, but this has been going on even longer than the Daffodil Festival, the 87th Dogwood Festival. Can you read that? Oh, they got live music.
Nope. No. Oh, well, they can't.
Bakery.
But, yeah.
They got food trades. Wait, no,
they got bakery. They got fresh food, bakery, craft
oh, food,
fair,
oh,
artisan
food trucks.
Food. Yeah.
Food trucks, plant boutique.
Handcrafted jewelry. All that.
Guided
vendors.
Walking history tours. Blessing of the animals. The traditional blessing of the animals by our pastors takes place on the front steps of the church at 11 a.m. on Mother's Day. So if you're especially if you're religious, this is a good place. Yeah.
What the heck?
So,
yeah. I might do that with my
fairs,
mother.
Children's craft and games. Pretty good for
That's
the whole
awesome.
Family.
I'm going to take my mom to that. That's a great idea. Her birthday's on the 13th.
And May Market in Farmington. So this
I've
is another
one
that they do every couple years. So join us for May Market, Hillstead's springtime fundraising event. May Market, Hillstead's much-anticipated annual event, supports the museum's 152 acres of beautiful gardens, grounds, and trails. May Market is produced with enormous support by the Hillsteaders, volunteer ambassadors of Hillstead, who have supported the museum with fundraising and outreach initiatives for over 30 years. This is one of their largest events. This year, the festive happening will feature over 40 premium vendors and flowers and unique plants perfect for Mother's Day. Vendors will be located both indoors and outdoors. Shop and enjoy the beautiful grounds during this springtime celebration. So May 4th at 10 a.m. It's another
May
great place
4th.
To bring mom.
I know. That sounds great. Oh, I want to go to this one.
The Veg Fest. The Veg Fest is occurring.
It looks like it's the first one, right? Yeah. Oh,
May 25th. Yeah. So this is the first annual CT Veg Fest. The first annual CT Veg Fest is taken. So this was taken from their website on a PDF. The first annual CT Veg Fest taking place on Saturday, May 25th, 2024 at the Bushnell Park in Hartford, Connecticut is set to be an amazing celebration of vegan food and causes. Woo! This event aims to inspire and create a culture of support for plant-based living throughout Connecticut. It brings together veg-friendly vendors, nonprofit presenters, and those enthusiastic about plant-based living. The festival seeks to create a fun and welcoming atmosphere where everyone can learn about the benefits of plant-based living and animal advocacy.
I love that.
Pretty cool.
I'm going to that.
Happy to come across that. That'll be interesting.
It's a good find, yeah.
In Hartford. So another event happening in New Britain, especially if you like food truck festivals, the New Britain Food Truck Festival, May 3rd, May 4th, and May 5th. Free admission. They got a carnival going over
the
there, and they've got vendors as well as food. So what's not to like about that?
Exactly. Just got to pay for the food.
Yep. And then we got another one, but this one's a little bit different. So this is the Food Truck Battles Festival, CT Food Truck
Battles
Festival.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah. So this is in Wolcott, taking place over 3 days. So it looks like, I mean, just take a look at this again. Look at all the food. Look at all the options.
They have. Oh, is this the one with the food competitions?
Yeah. So
it
I
might
think
be.
The way.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's the one.
It is. Yep. So if you want to stuff your face, if you think you're, you know, the next man versus food guy, or that guy who eats all the hot dogs, whatever his name is, go to this. So it looks like a lot
they
of
have
great
those.
Food.
And they have family comedy acts.
Yeah. Yeah, they got music and all sorts of other stuff going on too, and lots of vendors. But the thing about this one is I believe you vote for the best food truck. So
It's almost like Battle of the Bands, but with food trucks.
Yeah.
Basically. Same thing.
I dig it. All right. That, yeah. So the next one we've got is the Downtown Milford Spring Festival.
This is on the green, right? Yeah. Oh, it says it right there.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, sorry. So, yes, this is Saturday, May 4th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And they got
like plants,
the rain
the place
date for
day.
Sunday. Yep. If you like plants, go here. Otherwise, this is like your regular festival. You can expect food. Some entertainment.
That's the highlight is the plant thing. Yeah.
Yep. It's all about those plants. Go get your plants. All right.
Your Mother's Day plants.
Now, if plants aren't your thing and pickles are, then you want to go to Sweet Pete's.
What about you, John?
Pickle Fest.
You like pickles?
I do. I think pickles are good. I don't like all pickles.
That kosher dill.
But oh yeah, you can't go wrong with
half
the
sour.
Dill.
The half sour.
Yeah. There are so many different varieties when it comes to pickles. So let's take a look. See,
you this got place some lets notes you harvest
one,
your own
right?
cucumbers.
Really?
This place lets you harvest your own cucumbers, pick them, and they also have like workshops on how to create your pickle, like pickle workshops. Like this is so cool to me. This is something I would do. And also, they have a farm store and bakery. They have fresh farm produce. And it's a 2-day long festival. So if you can't make it one day, the next day is fine. And it's amazing. They have like little pickle delicacies and stuff that you can try. This is something I want to go to besides the Veg Fest, I would say. It's up there.
Nice. All right. So go check those festivals out. I believe you won't be disappointed. I think we've covered every single weekend in May.
Well done.
Right?
Us. Yes.
Or just about, yeah, I believe so. All right, so
we'll have to do a June one.
We will. All right, now let's get back to the AI and dating.
Subject of the hour.
Yeah. So NBC had a clip that we wanted to play some or all of. Let's
CNBC or NBC was it? CNBC.
NBC, but we do have a CNBC article that we're going to bring up.
Oh, gotcha.
So, all right. So this is dating apps use AI to help users find their dream partner. So like I was saying, dating apps utilize AI as the brains of the operation to pair people. So depending on how they're programmed or how the algorithm works.
Well, artificial intelligence, we know it is helping people find their dream partners more and more these days. Users on one dating app don't even have to go on the actual first date because apparently AI versions of themselves can meet virtually.
I feel like we have heard all things. I know, right? That's true. Speaking of daylight saving, NBC News correspondent Valerie Castro spoke to some people who use these AI
this came out
dating
a month
apps
ago.
About their experience and how it helped them find love. What did these people tell you, Valerie?
Yeah, guys, so I don't want to give too much away. There is a surprise about the couple that we interviewed that you'll see in just a moment, but they say they were bored and tired of the old dating apps. They wanted something new, so they decided to try AI, and now they say they are true believers.
Okay, so this
artificial
is different
intelligence
than normal
now taking
dating
some
apps.
Of the guesswork out of dating, using how you speak and how you look to zero in on that perfect match.
Huh. I focus on true attraction, the magical spark you feel when
Whoa,
meeting someone
that's freaky.
Special.
Iris dating uses the science of physical attraction.
I'm good on that.
That take your breath away moment when you spot a potential mate.
So that's instinctive.
How much money do you think that is, Allie?
What, for someone to pay for that?
Yeah.
There's wait, no do you have the actual figure in front of it?
For one time usage of that, I don't know, like the actual, I would probably guess it was like to be $10 a picture or some crap like that, right?
Yeah, something stupid,
or like $30 a week or $50 a week. Actually, I have that figure written down. I'll have to find that. It is very, it's nuts. Yeah, they pay a lot. You pay a lot of money for those AI generated profile pictures. I don't see a lot of them though on the dating apps. I don't know.
If reaction, which you can say it's in our DNA. When attraction is present, almost nothing else matters.
The AI algorithm uses stock.
I guess my internet connection is not the greatest.
Photos to find out which features you find attractive.
In phase one, I'll show you random photos. Rate them as like or pass.
Then it predicts which real person you might match with after learning your preferences. The app's creator says it currently has around 3 million active users. For Blake and Maria, these profile photos sealed the deal.
I swiped and it said instant match.
Which means that I had already liked him.
It took one
day.
Seems
like they put...
That's all it took. One day. And I found the person that I cannot live without.
That was 3 years
for
ago.
How long?
Now they're married and parents to baby Connor.
Once you set your preferences, it's pretty accurate and it gives you a few good options. So why not try it?
Another app, Solar, with about 2,000 active users, applies the language of love to find your most compatible partner.
2,000?
No,
virtual date
I saw
is
that,
not between you and another person.
I bet they're all
it's
in
between
Silicon
your
Valley
AI
too.
Versions.
In that process of onboarding, it creates an AI version of you that will then go on dates with other people's AIs.
Founder Ben Chang hoping Volar cuts out that awkward getting to know you phase.
Like you, it just tries to talk like you. So how you text, are you serious or are you more casual? Do you use
then
abbreviations? Do you use emojis?
It pretends to be you.
You need to talk to another human.
A recent survey by Cosmo and Bumble of 5,000 singles ages 18 to 42 found 72% agree that while AI can be helpful.
There's no replacement for the human connection.
This is what the Gen X's, Gen Z's. That's what they're trying to do, I feel
It's what the Bumble survey people said, I guess, according to that. Yeah, from Cosmopolitan Bumble AI Plus Dating Survey.
It's just, I miss the old days.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I don't think we need to see any more of this. You get the idea. But that's interesting. I wasn't expecting it to work exactly like that. So we saw how AI can assist people in dating when it comes to conversing. And then for this, it takes the whole, takes the AI version of you and interacts with the AI
with
version
another
of
AI.
Someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know how real that feels to me. That feels very, not contrived. It just feels like very like forced.
Yeah.
Just be yourself, man. What's so bad about being yourself? Because you're going to be forced to meet that person in real life, the real version of yourself. You and that other person are going to be forced to deal with that. And it's better earlier than later. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I don't understand it.
All right, so let's dive in to some of these articles that we've got in here. Let's start with that CNBC article because I believe it actually mentioned the South Park episode.
They did.
AI is shaking up online dating with chatbots that are flirty, but not too flirty. So this came out on Valentine's Day of this year. So it's got some interesting statistics as well. So for the key points, and this is by Hayden Field. You can follow her at Hayden Field on Twitter. So in the U.S., 1 in 3 ages 18 to 34 use ChatGPT for relationship advice compared with 14% of women in the same age range. So that's like 33% to 14% men to women. So men would rely on it more than women. We were just kind of joking about that because that's how it showed in South Park. Do you think that's how it really is, huh?
I think men have more pressure to get the first word out. They do.
They
do. Think about how many times women have reached out to you first. It's very like lopsided. So that's based in that. There's so much pressure. Oh, yeah. Besides that one app. I think that's where it stems from,
Yeah. So that
men
makes
having
sense
to
because
get that pressure.
there is... Yeah, the societal pressure for men to make the first move. It's always sort of been there, whether it's online or in person. So this makes sense that they would use AI as a resource for dating. Whether
a resource, not a main mechanism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like the phenomenon found its way last year into an episode of comedy. Central's South Park. So you'd think it's mostly just people that feel awkward, but there's a ton of people who are just introverts. So
just shy. Yeah, it's not all people.
This guy named Dimitri, who's the founder of YourMove.ai, which I guess is another application. So.
And there's people that also speak English as a second language, John. They have no other way
that's
to.
True.
You know what I mean? They have no other way to, like, figure out how to, like, I don't know, the give and takes of a conversation in English. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't know how to navigate that. So they're shy, but there's introverted people. And then there's, it's not just for the awkward people, but there are people.
I guess
that,
you're right.
You know what
so
I mean?
So I guess, like, especially if you're dealing with someone who's from a different culture.
Exactly.
I can understand that. It would be nice to realize that. But one thing I wanted to point out with this, when I just said 1 in 3 men age 18 to 34. So this was a survey conducted on an AI platform, Polefish. So keep that in mind.
Polefish.
Oh, yeah. And then right here, it talks about that whole South Park episode. ChatGPT, dude. Clyde told Stan in the school hallway. We just showed that. So yeah, there are a lot of apps that you can utilize for just this, or you could just have a conversation with.
Otherwise, you're wasting everybody's time. Yeah. If you find out they're not their real person, the real person they present themselves as, you're wasting everybody's time.
Yeah,
that's a giant con.
There was one thing I wanted to mention, Allie, that I forgot to bring up earlier. So, on AI dating. Okay, let me bring this up. So this came out earlier this month. All right, let me share this tab instead. Tech exec predicts billion-dollar AI girlfriend industry. Are we this lonely?
Like a blow-up doll. Really? Is that what is that?
I mean, kind of, in a way, except instead this is robot to feelings. Combat loneliness. So TFW, that feel when AI girlfriend.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
So this is by Noor Al-Sabai from Tech Exec predicts billion-dollar AI girlfriend industry. So,
oh my god, I hope they're
wrong.
They
were talking about the sorry state of men addicted to AI girlfriends, and in a blog-length post on X, former WeWork executive Greg Eisenberg says being a young guy who claims to spend $10,000 a month on so-called AI girlfriends or relationship-stimulating chatbots, he realized that eventually someone is going to capitalize upon that market the way Match Group has with dating apps. So Match Group was what we brought up last podcast. So Match Group owns Tinder, Hinge, Match.com, OkCupid, Plenty of Fish, and several others. So has a huge market cap of more than $9 billion of the dating app industry. So... yeah, I don't know. So the guy said he was speechless when he was talking to this young man who spends $10,000 a month. I don't get how you even have $10,000 a month. This guy must be work in tech or something or some highly specialized field.
Yeah, that's nutty.
$10K of disposable income to blow on AI people. I know it's really important for someone to find that special person who they can talk to. And kind of
a person, though, you know,
meaning in life. But really, so the unnamed guy told a tech bro that he is particularly into candy.ai and cupid.ai, both of which allow for the kind of not safe for work chatting that other apps ban. So he's talking about some dirty stuff.
NSFW.
Right. Oh.
Bless you. God bless.
Thanks, right? But yeah, so this is the sad state of AI in dating. So it's
sad,
recap, so people use AI to assist them with dating, people use AI to date for them, and people use AI in exchange instead of real life partners. So
yes,
this is in the very early stages of AI.
So you got to confront it eventually when you get to meet that person. You got to confront the actual issue.
So this is going to get much more advanced as we go on.
Yeah.
All right. So here's another article from Time.
This is the one on Riz. Yes.
Yes. How Riz assistants and AI matchmakers are transforming dating. So you can go on Time, and this is by Will Henshaw and Simone Shah. This came out in December of last year. So about 5 months ago.
I like the example they used for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
The man who was looking for advice about having developed feelings for a friend. That one.
Yeah.
And so he was sick of like turning to friends who offered very like, I don't know. Advice.
I have a bone to pick with the way they describe this. So they talk about Andrew, a 21-year-old college senior who needed advice, and recently he'd been spending more time alone with his friend. So obviously, like a lady friend
situationship.
He didn't know what to do. The article explains. So it says he tried asking his roommates. And I guess the way it explains it is they didn't give very good advice. And then, but my bone to pick here is most of his friends are in fraternities, and he says they were unlikely to offer tender, thoughtful guidance he was looking for. All right, I got a bone to pick with that though. That they were in for just because
technology does.
No. Just because they're in fraternities, it doesn't mean.
I know. Oh yeah, I noticed that. All right,
I.
What a weird way to word that.
Because I am in a fraternity, all right? So when I went to, I still am because I still keep in touch with my alumni brothers. A lot of great high caliber guys I actually met in my fraternity at the time. So I always try to fight back about that stereotype about fraternities being bad. Did you actually know that people... Because they're fraternities and people party and stuff like that.
You can't possibly have emotions.
And it's in college and you do college stuff and it's a group of people together. But people who are in fraternities usually do better academically than people who are not, statistically. Or otherwise you get in trouble with the fraternity. So I don't know. I don't like the idea of it being...
The way it was worded was
fraternities are just a bunch of dumb bros, but maybe
his worded is judgmental.
Maybe his, but to be fair, maybe his friends are a bunch of dumb bros. So whatever. So they were unlikely to offer tender, thoughtful guidance, as it says in the article, and he had nowhere else to turn except to AI. So it talks about this AI relationship coach called Mino. Now Mino was founded by Renate Nyborg, who is the former CEO of Tinder. So she comes from an interesting background. But what I found interesting and important to point out is that Mino is not yet available in North America for download. I think it's only available in select countries. So Andrew's probably not from the United States. But he talks about Mino and he says he uses it kind of as a mentor. So he's not doing what Clyde did earlier on. He's not copy pasting. So it gives
when he feels uncomfortable or indecisive, basically, is what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. So it helps him make decisions for him.
Not relying on it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes on to say that Renate Nyborg founded Mino in November 2022. So that's when it seems like a lot of these apps came out. These AI-centric dating or relationship apps came out. So particularly after the COVID-19 pandemic, again, just a reminder of how COVID really shaped everything, society, and in the state of dating.
Depression and mental became health. A big thing.
Yeah. So I guess that's a good reason to create an AI program like that.
In that pandemic, people became so, like, they did become mentally ill and their mental health was impacted. So they turned to that. And after, like, not having so much time being able to converse with real human beings, it's almost like losing, like, a language, losing your ability to speak a language. Yeah. So you're losing touch with how to communicate naturally, and that's not good. So they turn to these things.
Yeah, and you know what? It makes sense that people can lean on these apps, especially if they're just thrown into the single dating world once again. I know that's usually how it seems when a relationship ends, like all of a sudden you're single, especially if it's been for years and you're just used to that relationship. I was talking to my buddy earlier this week and he says, John, I don't know what I would do if I was single, because he's married and he has kids. And he was telling me, I don't know what I'd do. So I think one thing that he'd probably do if he was doing some research is he probably would ask ChatGPT something or whatever. You know what I mean? You got to get refreshed. You got to get...
Do you think it's more for a loneliness thing or help sometimes from single men? Like, do you think it's more of a loneliness thing? They really want assistance.
I think people rely on it for help more than, and you know what, in some situations, because I've seen some of the things that men say to women is, but you know, you don't have to go very far to look up those, those conversations of men approaching the wrong way. They're all over Reddit. And if you're a woman, I know they're all up in your inbox.
Oh, so Johnny knows, yes.
So maybe you are better off if you're one of those guys learning a good way to open, maybe being a little bit more thoughtful, maybe not jumping right to a certain subject.
App. Like, yeah, it almost feels like plagiarism when people, like, we were talking about this, right? Like, yeah, if you go on, is it plagiarism?
It's not genuine.
Taking something, yeah, it's not plagiarism per se, but it's like ethical plagiarism.
Well, if you do what Clyde did earlier, if you copy paste, then yeah, it's equivalent to plagiarism. But if you just use it sort of as a source of inspiration or to give you a perspective, then maybe not. You know, that's taking your own genuine ideas and communication and hitting it with that. So, and then they talk about another app too called Riz. It works the same way. It's an assistant. So they came up
relationship with, gives it relationship advice.
Yeah, it came up with the name for that because it's based on the slang word. It's short for charisma.
So I was wondering where that came from. I'm like,
and then it's defined as style, charm, or attractiveness, the ability to attract a romantic or sexual partner. So I guess that's actually a pretty good name for
an AI a great name.
Dating assistant app.
And it's right. So it's based off of the concept that men can't communicate online and women are better at it, basically, right?
that's what it appears, Allie. So, and then AI matchmakers. Oh, there was one article I really wanted to bring up.
Was it the CBC one?
No, this was the study from...
Oh, the Singles in America study.
Yeah, the Singles in America study.
Oh, that's a great study we should talk about, yeah.
Okay. So, Singles in America study, daters breaking the ice with AI. So, So this was conducted by, again, that giant dating group that we keep referencing, the Match Group. So Match's Singles in America study asked a U.S. demographically representative sample size of more than 5,000 singles between the ages of 18 and 77, their opinion on dating and artificial intelligence. So this study right here is super relevant, the most relevant up-to-date study.
I saw a lot of information.
We totally need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Conducted by Indiana University. So this is right off of the News at IU website by Jaleesa Elliott. Thank you for giving us this information here.
Yeah, I really liked it. I enjoyed reading about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So
apparently AI's in its early phases, according to this study. We're not even halfway there.
Just 6% of all single people and 14% of people who date online saying they have experimented with AI to boost their dating lives. So this makes it seem like very few people use it. I think probably because this just takes a sample.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure what the sample size is here. But a new trend is emerging. They're noticing it's a trend because they do this every year. Artificial intelligence is helping singles connect more effectively. And that's most likely just the beginning because of the men and women who have used AI for online dating. 32% say, so about a third, say that AI has helped them get better matches and meet potential partners faster. So I could see how that could work just based on what we were just talking about.
Or it just
about.
Gives you more of a pool. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a little sick of that. Just give you more matches, I think.
So they just give 43% of people said they used it to write their dating app profiles. So keep that in mind.
Wow. People are men.
That's a lot, right?
Men?
It says people. So 37 used it to help them write a first message. Though some singles are leaning on AI to make the first move, many seek authenticity in dating. Nearly 50% of singles said they would draw the line at a potential match using AI to alter their image, and 39% would oppose a potential match using AI in every conversation. So again, like what Clyde did earlier on in that South Park clip. So people don't like that.
You
have to be genuine, and especially if you use it to alter your appearance. That's freaky. If you're using an AI, you would definitely be disingenuous. You're pretty much catfishing someone.
That's what it is. Yeah, in essence.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting about the Gen Z thing. Do you read about that? How the Gen Z people feel the stress of they're the youngest of our adult singles, right? The Gen Z.
Uh-huh.
So they feel the stress from their mental health, but they prioritize their mental health. And 57% of people from the study, it says, have attended a therapy session. So it makes you think, like, how many of these people should just go to therapy, young people, to get advice instead of relying on this stuff?
On AI?
Because they're saying that 57% of these people would like to prioritize their mental health. That says a lot about our young adults. That they would like to get out of this little funk of being trapped and getting advice from a computer.
Well, that makes sense, especially how that's more pushed these days, is to get your mental health under control, and therapy is looked at more as a positive thing by especially the newer generations like Gen Z.
But a lot of them don't want it. A lot of them also just they're like, no, I don't need it. I don't need it. But I think this is what they're trying to replace therapy with, this kind of thing a lot of times. I don't know. I do think that. You should be talking to a therapist about how to approach relationships if you have one. Not go on computers. I don't know. My opinion. That's just my opinion.
So you're very much against the AI to assist.
Not against it, but if you're going to look for opinions on things, don't go to a computer bot that has a certain algorithm. Like, it doesn't know your background, doesn't know your, know anything about your life, your past history, doesn't know your baggage. What about you? I don't know.
I think for some really tough situations where maybe you're indecisive, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. Not to be completely relied upon, but only for decisions where you're completely indecisive, where you've weighed things in your head already and you're still unsure. So otherwise, I am more for being genuine, and I, but see, the thing is, I've been single for a while, and I've more so adapted to how the modern dating. I mean, I wouldn't want to sound that confident, but I have a better idea of how it is to be single in this age than someone who's just thrown into being single or who's just recently coming off of a breakup. So those types of people, like we discussed earlier, are probably more likely to lean on something like this, or especially if you're younger, relying on something.
It just feels like catfishing. Like it's relied upon too much. Just feel like you're presenting an authentic, like you said, we keep reading about,
being disingenuous. Like, version of yourself.
Yeah. Disingenuous.
So...
And then I would question why that person needs that AI. What is it that they can't talk about? Like, why can't they? Like, it really just points to, do you not have interest? Do you not have hobbies that you can talk about with that, the, whatever, your other partner, you know, the person that you're trying to talk to? Why can't you come up with your own subjects? You really need to talk to a computer about what to say first. Because if you have so much going on with your life and you have, you're driven, you should not need it. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I agree. And I think that's just another reason to try to meet someone as soon as possible. So don't spend too long chatting back and forth, because it could, you could just be chatting with chat.
Oh, GPT. John. Can I tell you one thing, though?
Yeah.
The funniest thing is what I noticed about AI is that's now I notice, like, with the things you've been talking about, when I'm on MeetMe, which is a streaming platform that I use to stream. When I get messages, they'll be like the same thing from six people. So it doesn't actually let you stand out. It's not like helping you stand out. It'll be like, you're beautiful with like an emoji, but from the same six people.
AI generative.
Yeah, thing. I noticed that. Okay. You know, when they let you have the prompts?
It does that too. Yeah. I get that too. So you're talking about the prompts in the dating apps now.
So I get you're beautiful exclamation mark by like 16 or like, what is the best thing that's happened in your day so far? From seven or eight people, that's not going to help you stand out if you're just picking from a, like, you know, a plethora of like questions.
I agree. What do you think? A lot of it does seem basic, but it probably is also generated with the idea of responsiveness. Like, people will likely respond to these types of questions. Usually they're more open-ended questions that gives people, you know, people like to be asked questions on dating apps. Don't you?
They do. No. But I'm different.
And some men don't open with a question, and that's why they get nothing. You know what I mean? They'll just say something, or they'll just say hi. Or hello, or hey.
That's one of the pre
you're beautiful things. Or you're pretty or you're sexy or something like that, or something worse, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But the apps usually generate some sort of question. So I think they're good, but I wouldn't rely on them too much. I think you're better off having some sort of openers. Develop two or three good go-to openers and just use those. So that way you're not putting too much thought into it, or all the thought that you've put into it. You know, you already have them ready to go.
I think, you know, a lot of women questions. Probably see it as a big red flag. Yeah. The way that people approach it with the AI. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for all women.
Well,
I
if they knew, huge... if they know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're not going to be able to tell.
If something's too good to be true as a response, it probably is. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things of women's intuition. You can tell.
Yeah. So, but they're not going to be able to rely on ChatGPT live in person. So again, that's just another great reason to meet up in person. Exactly. I think it's a good idea to chat for about a week or so, and after you got that, try to plan a coffee date, plan something cheap, where you plan some place that you can go that's quiet, where you can talk and have a real conversation. So that way you'll get to know them for real, and you'll be able to make a better decision on whether to continue or not. And AI won't be able to do that. Yep.
Yeah, they can't tell you that
information. Yep.
I agree.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. We will return next week with another episode 6. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but we've got a few great ideas mulling around. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.
Stay single.
For doing.